Well, let's open in our Bibles to the book of Exodus in chapter 20, verse 12. In our evening services, we've been making our way through the Ten Commandments and using the Heidelberg Catechism as a guide and a help as we would study this. And so last time we looked at the fourth commandment, and we saw that the Sabbath day, or the Lord's day, is a day of blessing for us as God's people. And so we should enjoy it. It's a day to celebrate, as we would do so according to God's directions for how to do that. And tonight we're going to look at the fifth commandment. So we're getting our way, halfway through the Ten Commandments now. The fifth commandment here, which we find in verse 12. And just to remind you, what are the reasons we've been talking about to have in mind for studying the Ten Commandments and to apply them to our lives as Christians? We're not saved by our obedience to this law, so why should we obey this law at all? And so that's what we've been talking about throughout our studies. Three reasons in particular taken from the Word that the Heidelberg Catechism mentions. And that is, first and foremost, obeying God's law is how God wants us to express our thankfulness to Him that we've been saved by grace and not by works. Obeying God's law is also how we can strengthen the assurance of our salvation, which is something the Lord wants us to be striving for. And our obedience to God's laws also makes the gospel attractive. And it's one of the means that God says He will use to bring the lost to Himself. So these are reasons why we are to study God's law and apply them to our lives. Well, let's look now at the fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12. This is God's word. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Here we'll end the reading of God's Word. Well, as probably was the case for many of you, on the 4th of July, I had the opportunity to spend it with much of my extended family. And usually when things like this happen, there are good things that go on. You get to see people you haven't seen in a while. You get to see how the kids have grown up. But sometimes when you get in these situations, things are not as encouraging as perhaps you would like them to be. And so, for instance, as we were with some family members, I was sitting out on the deck with some folks where one of the younger kids, who used to be so cute and so nice, was ripping on his teachers and complaining about all the things his teachers are doing and all the struggles he was having at school. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is he saying? You know, is he really saying this out loud? I was shocked because the last time I saw him, he was still this sweet kid, and here he is just bashing these teachers that he has. And yet as I went on to think about it, I realized, aren't we all to some degree just like that kid? When it comes to authority, as sinners, we bristle. We don't like it, especially when authorities tell us to do something or not to do something that we would rather not do. And yet as we look at the fifth commandment tonight, we see here are God's instructions. How are we to view the authorities in our life? How are we to view the authority that we have over others? The fifth commandment, that's what it speaks to. And so we see here in the fifth commandment that God wants us to honor the authoritative structures in our lives. So that would be those who have authority over us, as well as the authority we have over others. Because when we do so, we're ultimately honoring God's authority exercised to us through these other authorities. And yet that's not easy for us to do as sinners. And so God gives us motivation. And we see in the fifth commandment that as we strive to do this, we need to keep in mind that the authoritative structures are for our good. There's much blessing in them. And as we strive to do that as well, we need to remember what Jesus has done and how He has perfectly kept the fifth commandment on our behalf. And that has serious implications for us when it comes to the fifth commandment as well. So the main point we'll see tonight from this commandment is that God wants you to honor the authoritative structures in your life. And as you strive to do this, know that it is for your good and rely upon the one who perfectly did so on your behalf. So know that it's for your good and rely upon the one who perfectly did so on your behalf. And boys and girls, if you want to draw a picture, why don't you draw a picture of yourself honoring your parents? And you can listen. How does God want you to honor your parents? What does that look like? And I'll look forward to looking at your pictures later this week. Well, I've given you an outline on the back chair. If you need to get up and get one, please feel free to do so. The first point we see as we look at this commandment is that God wants you to honor your parents. Pretty simple. God wants you to honor your parents. And so let's look again here at Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So this is the obvious command here. Honor your father and your mother. Now, the catechism explains it this way. If you look at question 104, there's just one catechism question. What is God's will for you in the fourth or fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal or faithful to my father and mother. And then it goes on to talk about obeying and submitting to them even when they correct or punish us. And this is all true. This is all helpful. And yet I think it would be more helpful for us if we could have a more clearly defined understanding of what does it really mean to honor our father and mother. The Hebrew word here carries this idea of heavy or weighty. And so the idea would be that we are to give the authorities, but specifically our parents, the weight that is their due, given their position over us as their parents. And really, this is done in two ways. And so first, you honor your father and mother by respecting them and holding them in high esteem for the position that they have as our parents. And then second, you honor your parents by performing all the duties that you owe to them as God directs in His Word. And I'll just say right now, so when I talk about honoring your parents or honoring your authorities throughout the rest of this evening, it's in these two senses that I'm going to be talking about. So I'm not going to keep repeating myself, so if you could do a little work and keep these in mind. It's respecting these authorities and performing the duties that God says you owe to these authorities, which is different depending on who the authority is. And so that's what it means to honor them. Now, going back here to talking about honoring your parents, depending upon your age, honoring your parents can and take different forms and look in different ways. And so for you boys and girls, honoring your parents, I think, really falls into two main ways you can do this. The first way is by listening to your parents and learning from them. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." And so, boys and girls, as your mom and dad are reading the Bible to you and teaching you about God's Word, God wants you to listen to them. Not be thinking about other things, not be wishing it could be over as fast as possible, but listening to what your mom and dad are teaching you. And then God also wants you, boys and girls, to honor your parents by obeying them. Right, so instead of arguing, instead of resisting what they're telling you to do, God wants you to be quick to do what your parents are telling you to do. Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Well-pleasing to the Lord. Now for you teenagers. Now, of course, you still have the same responsibilities that we just mentioned. As long as you're living in your parents' home, you still have to listen and learn from them and obey them as well. But as you grow up, there are other ways that you can honor your parents. You know, one of those ways would be to honor them by speaking well of them. It's very common, I'm not saying any of you teenagers do this, but it's very common for teenagers to complain about their parents. "Oh, I have to do this," or "Oh, I can't do this." And yet God says, when it comes to your parents, whether you like what they're doing or not, He wants you to speak highly of them. Hold them in high esteem and give them respect even as you talk about them with your friends. And another key way for teenagers to honor your parents is by sharing your life with them. Sharing your life with them. As you go through various changes in this time of your life, as you have certain questions, as you face certain temptations, don't keep it from your parents. There's a great temptation there to keep it from your parents. But that's why God has given you your parents. So that instead of going to the internet, instead of going to your friends at school asking them these questions, you can go to your parents and find answers to the questions. Now, for those of you who are adults, you no longer are living with your parents, you can obey them by seeking their counsel. As you face major decisions, asking, Mom, Dad, what do you think I should do here? How should I go about doing this? And let them share their wisdom with you. And then love and care for your parents, obviously if they're still alive. Love and care for them. You know, recent studies have shown that barely half of Americans believe that children have the responsibility to care for their parents in their older years. Barely half of Americans believe that that's a responsibility we have as children. And yet God's Word, of course, says otherwise. Proverbs 23:22, just one example. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And so at the front of it, looking at the fifth commandment, God says, honor your father and mother. And there are many ways that can be done, but no matter what age we are, what stage of life we're in, that's something the Lord wants us to do. Well, as we come to our second point on the outline, we see that God also wants you to honor all who are in authority over you. And so like the commandments, all of the commandments, once you get into them, we realize there's so much more to them than what appears to be the case. And so while it says honor your father and mother, the greater principle here is that we are to honor all who are in authority over us. And the Catechism rightly acknowledges this. Question 104, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. And as we look at the scriptures, we see this all over the place. And so first, we are to honor the authorities in the home. Paul says in Ephesians 5:22-24, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so Paul says the husband is in authority over the home. Now, he's not to be a tyrant. He's to be Christ-like, who lays down his life for his home, just as Christ lays down his life for the church. But as the head of the home, God says the husband is to be honored. And then as we saw earlier, parents are to honor the authorities in the home. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Second, we're to honor the authorities in the workplace. Colossians 3:22 says, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now, we may not be slaves, but many of us are employees. And God calls us here to sincerely honor these bosses and these supervisors that we have in our lives. And this would also be the category where teachers and professors come into place. We are to respect their authority and learn from them willingly. Third, we're to honor the authorities in the civil government. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And so our presidents, our congressmen, our senators, our governor, our mayor, etc., are to be honored by us. And then fourth, we're to honor the authorities in the church. Speaking of the church elders, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Well, as the Catechism then goes on to say, honoring all the authorities in our lives also includes honoring them when they correct us and when they discipline us. Right, look at question 104, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? Goes on to say that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. Right, so those who are in authority over us have the responsibility to do this. Right, parents are called to correct the sinful ways of their children and to spank them as needed. Employers have the right to critique their employees and fire them if they would see fit. The civil government has the right to give speeding tickets or jail time if the laws have been broken. And the church elders have the right and the responsibility to teach and rebuke the congregation, even exercise church discipline if that is needed. And so honoring authority is not just in the good times, it's even in those times when the authorities are correcting us and disciplining us. God says we should be taking heed to their words of correction, accepting the consequences of our actions, and being quick to repent and to forgive or seek forgiveness from both the Lord and man. Philip Ryken, a commentator on the Ten Commandments, says, respecting authority applies to every person in every relationship. We have so many authorities in our lives besides our parents, and God wants us to honor that authority. Well, thirdly, we see that God also wants you to honor the authority that you have over others. Now, this point isn't mentioned in the Catechism, but you see, the Fifth Commandment does not only speak of the responsibility subordinates have to their superiors, it also speaks of the responsibilities superiors have to their subordinates. Right, so you see, if subordinates are to honor the authority of their superiors in order to uphold and maintain these authority structures, then those who are in authority over others should be doing the same, to honor that authority that they have, seeking to please the Lord in it, taking it seriously. But I think this is brought out for us in Ephesians 6, 5-9. It's just one example. Paul talks about the slaves again. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. So if you have authority over others, God wants you to honor that authority by performing the duties that you have to those who are under your authority. And so if you're a parent, the fifth commandment calls us to raise our children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. If you're a husband, the fifth commandment calls you to lead and love your family, just as Jesus leads and loves the church. If you're an employer or a supervisor, the fifth commandment calls you to take care of your employees and to do what's best for them. If you're an official in the civil government, the fifth commandment calls you to execute justice and reward those who do good. If you're a church elder, the fifth commandment calls you to faithfully shepherd the flock of God, to protect them from the foe. So no matter what position of authority you have, the Lord wants you to respect it. You don't need to be ashamed of it. You don't need to shy away from it. God wants you to honor it and take seriously the responsibilities He's given you and perform them. Well, fourthly, God wants you to honor the authority structures in your life because all authority is from Him. All authority is from Him. And so far we've seen that God wants you to honor your parents. God wants you to honor all who are in authority over you. And God wants you to honor the authority that you have over others. And the reason He wants you to do that is because He is the one ultimately ruling and exercising His authority through all of these authoritative structures. And so you go back and look at Catechism 104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Right, so those who are in a position of authority are there because God has set them in that position of authority. Okay, go back and look at Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, Paul is speaking here in context about the civil authorities, but the principle remains here. All authority is from God. Those who are in positions of authority have it because God has appointed them to that position. That's true for all positions of authority. Therefore, we're to honor those in authority and honor the authority we have for that sole reason. Because as we do so, we are honoring God's authority exercised through them. Romans 13:2 says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And of course, that's obviously not something that we should be doing. Even that's the main crux of the fifth commandment, that ultimately we would honor our heavenly Father above all else. And we do that by honoring the authoritative structures in our lives. G.I. Williamson puts it this way. He says, God's authority comes to expression in our daily lives by means of people whom He has invested with His authority over us. Now, before we move on, I think there are two things for us to keep in mind as it pertains to this specific point. And one of them is that this point teaches us that just because others are in authority over us does not mean that they are better than us or that they are more important than us. Now, the Bible is very clear. All human beings stand equal before the law, before the Lord. Galatians 3:28 says that all Christians are equal as well. And so if someone has authority over us, it's not because they are more important. It's because God has chosen in His sovereignty to give that authority to that person. You remember when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, right before He was crucified. Pontius Pilate asked Him the question. He said, "Where are you from?" But Jesus wouldn't say a word. And you remember how Pontius Pilate then responded? He said, "Do you not realize that I have the authority to set you free and the authority to crucify you?" And how did Jesus respond? He said, "You would have no authority over me had it not been given to you from above." That's the exact same thing for all who have authority over us. Andrew Kuyvenhoven says, God gives authority to people not to lift them up above others, but to enable them to fulfill a mandate from Him. And then the second thing it teaches us is that since it is God who has set these authorities over us, we are to honor them whether they are good or bad. Whether they are good or bad. I think we all know our parents, our bosses, our civil leaders, our church elders are far from perfect. Mistakes are happening. Authority is often neglected. Authority is often abused. And yet that doesn't mean that we are free from having to honor their authority. 1 Peter 2:18 says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." Now, to be clear, this doesn't mean that we are to sin against the Lord if these authorities would like for us to do that, nor does it mean that we are to subject ourselves to undue violence against us. Right. In such cases, we must obey God and disobey man, but we're still to honor the authorities as best we can. So, for instance, if our government decides someday soon that we can't preach the gospel, much like what's going on in China, of course we would have to disobey the government and obey the Lord and preach the gospel. But that would not mean that we could then stop praying for them. That would not mean that we would be free from having to obey the other civil laws. That would not mean that we would be free to start slandering our civil authorities. The same thing goes when your parents are unbelievers. If their counsel is ungodly, you must not listen to it. but you must still love and care for them. Boys and girls, you may think at times that your parents don't have a clue what they're doing and making lots of mistakes. And that might be the case at times, but God still wants you to honor your parents despite all of those mistakes, because again, it's God who gave them this authority. And when we honor their authority, we're honoring God. Philip Ryken says, respect for those who are in authority is respect for God, because all authority comes from Him. Our respect is not based on their personal qualities or professional qualifications, but on the position God has given them. And that's why I think the Catechism so nicely says, or reminds us, that we are to be patient with their failings. They are going to fail. And so we, as we honor them, are to be patient with them. I don't know about you, but that's not really easy to do, is it? And God knows it's not easy for us to do this. And so in the command, He's given us motivation to do it. And this brings us to our fifth point, where we see that honoring the authority structures in your life is for your own good. Right, the Catechism, again, doesn't mention this, but go back and look at Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Vacation Bible School, I talked about this morning. Vacation Bible School, we make the kids do a lot of work. We have them read essays explaining the teachings of Scripture. We have them memorize lots of verses, memorize catechism questions. And of course, you understand why we do that. It's important for them to learn these things. And yet, the kids often would rather be doing something else. Playing, doing something that's more fun. And so, we tell them that if you do these things, we'll give you points. And the points then serve as the motivation to get them to memorize the work, the word, and to get them to read the essays, because at the end of the week, they want to be on the winning team with the most points. And we may critique that attitude, but you see, that's exactly what God is doing here in the fifth commandment. Knowing that it's not necessarily easy for us to honor the authority structures in our lives, He gives us a motivation. He says, do this so that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord our God is giving us. Now we have to remember, God originally gave this to the Israelites after they had been brought out of Egypt on their way to the Promised Land, but they weren't there yet. They were at Mount Sinai in the wilderness. And so to the Israelites, God was encouraging them to keep this command by telling them, if they do, their time in Canaan, the earthly Promised Land, would be long. And by implication, if they failed to honor the authority structures in their life, then their time in the land would not be long. They would either die or they would be taken away to captivity. And of course, we know the Israelites rebelled against the Lord and against His authority. Many of the Israelites died. Many of the Israelites were taken captive of the land. But they still had the promise before them. And for you and me, while we may not be being brought to an earthly promised land like the Israelites, and while our time in the heavenly promised land cannot and will not be affected at all by our obedience or lack thereof, we're still given the motivation to keep the fifth commandment, that we would have long lives here on earth. And this is what Paul says when he talks about the fifth commandment in Ephesians 6, 1-3. So much in these three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, of course, we have to be careful here. This is not an absolute automatic guarantee that if you honor your father and mother, you'll live to be 100. Nor does it mean if you die an untimely death that you failed to honor your father and mother. Right? God, in His providence, sometimes brings a young life to an abrupt end, and He has His purposes for doing that. But still, even in the New Testament, we're given the same motivation to keep the fifth commandment. I think Matthew Henry explains it well. He says, those who in conscience towards God keep this and the rest of God's commandments may be sure that they shall live as long on earth as infinite wisdom, God, sees good for them, and that what they may seem to be cut short of on earth shall be abundantly made up in eternal life, the heavenly Canaan which God will give them. But there's more here than even just this. Right. There's also a promise of God's blessing for keeping this command. Now, it's not, obviously not meritorious for keeping this command, but nonetheless, God has chosen to graciously reward your obedience. And we see this in this expression, live long in the land, because it's also a Hebrew way of saying, you're speaking of the fullness of God's blessing, to prosper, to have an abundant life, not just necessarily a long life. And again, Paul brings that out in Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3, where he says, verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, verse 3, that it may be well with you. Right, so if you honor the authority structures in your life, God says it will go well for you. If you don't honor them, God says things will not go well for you. In other words, the authority structures are for your good. God has designed them to provide certain things in your life that you need. And if you dishonor and rebel against the authority structures, then you miss out on those blessings that God has put in them. And so children who do not honor their parents miss out on the blessings of a Christian home and the protection of their parents. Employees who do not honor their employer will most likely lose their job or forfeit career development. Citizens who do not honor the civil authorities will face penalties, lose the blessings that the laws are intended to provide. And Christians who do not honor their elders will lose out on the blessing of faithful shepherding. To give just a few examples. So God's putting it in the command, giving us this warning here that if we honor the authorities in our lives, if we don't honor the authorities in our lives, we're only going to bring pain and heartache and problems and difficulties into our lives. Things will be a mess. And so instead of having that happen, God says, honor your father and mother, honor these authority structures so that it will go well for you. Because children, whether you believe it or not, you need godly instruction from your parents. And employees need the blessings of their employers. And citizens need the blessings of their civil authorities. And church members need the blessings of their elders. As you know, my wife worked for a coffee company in a previous life. And while she was a very hard worker, there was one store policy that was kind of annoying to her and she didn't always follow. And that was, you had to tuck in your shirt. Now, this was something where the supervisors didn't really say much, and so you could easily get beyond doing it. And so if the greater supervisor would walk in, everyone would scurry around and tuck in their shirts real quick, and my wife would certainly be one of them. But usually during that time, she would not tuck in her shirt at all, and it wouldn't really bother her. The problem is, when it came time for performance review, and she was graded on all of these things, she was graded on, did she tuck in her shirt, believe it or not? And she got a low score. Now, that might not be a big deal, but then you realize the percentage of your raise is determined by the score you get on your performance review. And so all of a sudden, this meaningless little law of tucking in your shirt was something she really wished she would have abided by throughout her time there. And similarly, when it seems like honoring authority is pointless, no one seems to care that you're doing it, no one seems to care that you're complaining about your boss, ripping on a civil leader, God is giving you motivation here to honor it nonetheless, because the authority structures are not to limit our fun or our freedom, though we may always think that's the case. They're for our good. And God says, I have put them in your lives so that things will go well for you. And He wants things to go well for you so that as you honor them, you will receive the good blessings that God intends to give you through them. And so as you seek to honor the authority structures, keep this in mind. And then finally, as we come to our sixth and final point, as you strive to honor the authority structures in your life, rely upon the one who perfectly did so on your behalf. I don't know about you, but when we are going through these Ten Commandments and trying to unpack all that's included here, it's a little overwhelming, isn't it? I can see it on your faces. Really? This is what I have to do? And it can be discouraging. How in the world can I even start to take steps in doing these things. And yet that's where we need to remember that while we cannot perfectly keep the fifth commandment on our own, Jesus Christ did perfectly keep the fifth commandment for us. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, throughout his entire earthly life, was tempted just like we are, but completely without any sin. So think of this. Even as a young child, Jesus did not sin. Even as a teenager, Jesus did not sin. From day one to the day of the cross, Jesus was without sin entirely. And what's more, from day one to the day of the cross, Jesus honored his earthly father and mother. As a young boy, we're told in Luke 2:51 that Jesus was submissive and obedient to his parents. Now, we think it's hard to submit to sinners who are in authority over us. Imagine being Jesus. His earthly parents certainly were sinners, and yet Jesus was completely sinless. And to add to that, he was their Lord and their God and their Creator. And yet still, he submitted himself to their authority and obeyed them perfectly. And even when he's hanging on the cross, in his dying moments, where I think you and I would be thinking only of ourselves, Jesus was thinking of his widowed mother down below by telling John, his friend, "Here's your mother now. Please take care of her." What's more, though Jesus was equal with his heavenly Father throughout his entire earthly life, he honored that authority and submitted himself to it, and from day one to the end, gave himself to honoring that authority over him, even to the point of dying on the cross. And you see, brothers and sisters, Jesus did that. Jesus kept the fifth commandment so that you and I, who break the fifth commandment day after day after day, would be forgiven, would be righteous before the Lord, and would be able more and more by his grace to honor the authority structures that he has put in our lives as he commands and calls us to do. And so as you strive to put this into practice, this fifth commandment, lean on Christ. Rely upon his enabling grace and rest day after day in his forgiving grace. God wants you and he commands you to honor the authority structures in your life. But as you do so, know that it's for your good and you will be blessed as a result. And as you do so, rely upon Christ who perfectly kept it for you. Philip Ryken says, one of the reasons Jesus is the perfect Savior is because he was the perfect child. Let's pray. Lord, we fall terribly short of your standard. You have given us a great standard because this standard is a perfect revelation and reflection of who you are. And so, Lord, as we are sinners, as we are not good, as we heard this morning, we cannot keep this. Not at all. And yet we thank you that Jesus has kept it for us so that we can be forgiven. And we thank you that Jesus has kept it for us so that now as believers we really can obey the fifth commandment. We can honor the authority structures in our lives by your grace. So Lord, help us to rest in that promise, knowing that in Christ we are dead to sin. We are alive to you. We are fully able to walk in obeying these commands that you've given to us as a rule of life, that having been saved by grace, we would live in this way, expressing our thankfulness to you and living in a manner that is pleasing to you, and that is becoming of a child of God. Help us, and Lord, please forgive us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.